My, my, my. Chair said to warn you, if you hear loud popping in the back, it's just balloons, so don't be nervous. Apparently, Chris and Tasha are doing the kids today, and they have balloons to pop, so I just want you to know it's okay. Amen. Would you go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18. This is Vision Sunday, and I'm going to do my best to lay out, in general, the direction for this year and what God has spoken to our heart for this year. And this is not my vision. Primarily, it's God's vision, because we've prayed and we've asked God, what do you want? And feel clear this is what he's saying. But it's more than even that. It's our vision. And what I'm going to share with you has been discussed already with our leaders. And there's a consensus that we're on the right path and the right direction. So it's not just me shooting something in the wind, but we are together in what God is saying. Amen? Is that a good thing or what? Amen, amen, amen. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Says that Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, never going to let you down, even to the end of the age." Amen. Lord, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the energy that I feel in this room. Lord, I feel like preaching probably more than I have in a while. Lord, just the energy, the enthusiasm, the sense of your presence in this place. Lord, there are some times I just want to get everything out of the way. Let me preach. Hallelujah. And I feel today, oh God, that you are speaking to us, not just because of the words I'm about to say, but Lord, because of your presence that is already in this room. Oh God, you already are talking to us. You already are revealing yourself to us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this energy that I feel, Lord God, will be continued, oh God, beyond just this service. And there will be an excitement about what, oh God, you are speaking to us as a church, but individually as well, as we step forward into this year. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, Vision Sunday for me is always a cautious thing, and laying out direction for the year is something I've always been hesitant about. But this year, I pretty well knew January 1, but I wanted some time to process and put it together and kind of try to package it in a way that was clear and concise. But basically, what God said to us last year, we talked about the up, in, and out and all those things, is really a continuation into this year. So it's phase two. And what God began for us last year. 3 points for you this morning: making church, making disciples, and making room. And I'm going to try hard to say room and not rum, because I still have a little bit of an English accent. And when I say room, it sounds a bit like rum. So just overlook it if you can do that. Making church. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19 through 22 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being that chief cornerstone," we sang about this morning, "in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." And then Colossians 1 verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." When we talk about church, we tend to talk about a building. We tend to talk about an organization. We say, "I'm going to church." But church is not the building. Church is not the organization. Church is you. Church is me. We are the body of Christ. There is one head of the church, and it for sure ain't me. It's Jesus Christ, the Savior, Hallelujah. And Lord. So most people view church, we talked about this at the beginning of last year. Most people view church as what happens on Sunday. But church is who we are. Church is what we're called to be. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. When you're home alone with your family, you are the church. When you're driving to work, you are the church. When you are gathered together with two or three in His name, you are the church. Hallelujah. And so Jesus said it is not our job to build His church. Kind of take the pressure off you a little bit. In Matthew 16, verse 18, it says, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," Jesus is speaking, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." The revelation Peter just had is that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Upon that revelation, Jesus said, "I will build my church." He's the one doing the work, amen? The only reason you're saved is because of Him. The only reason you're growing is because of Him. The only reason you're healed is because of Him. The only reason you have hope, destiny, purpose in life is because of Him. Hallelujah. It's not programmed. It's not services. It's not anything else. It's Jesus that makes us His church. So Jesus said, "It's not your job to build my church," but He did say something was our job. In Matthew 28, verse 19, He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." He said, don't make church services. He said, make disciples. Make disciples. He says, I'll get them. I'll win them. I'll reach them. I'll reveal myself to them. They'll come to know me, but then I need you to disciple them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. Support them. Correct them. Amen. Teach them how to love me the way you do. And so we made some changes at the beginning of 2016. It kind of realized that so much of what was going on ministry-wise, I was driving in the church. And so we made some radical changes. A big change was we canceled Wednesday night service, and some of you missed that. And for those of you that did, I'm sorry that you missed it, because I know some of you did. But it was a necessary thing for us to do. And what we began to do, we began to gather our deacons, some of our trustees, and some of those in leadership roles in our house. And we began to meet a couple times a month in what we called a huddle. And gather together and say, you know what? If we are going to reach everybody in the church, I can't do it all by myself. We've got to do it together. And so we kind of broke everything down. We said, let's begin to look at what it takes to disciple others. Let's look at what it takes to live for God myself in a real way and show others how to do the same. And let's have some camaraderie together. Let's have some unity. Let's have some good discussion about where we're going together. And of all the things that we did last year, I think that change of that Wednesday night and moving it to a huddle was one of the best things we did. I know that for some of you, you didn't feel the immediate effect because maybe you weren't there in that. But I believe that it has ministered to the congregation in many ways, because what we did was got together, got on the same page, and said, let's move forward together. Hallelujah. And so we began last year talking about up, in, and out. Up is our relationship with God. In is our relationship with each other. Out is our relationship with the world. And we want to continue that this year as we keep a good balance. Because one of the other things we talked about was having a good balance between rest and work. You know, I've kind of gone through this framework in my mind. Some of you know this. I used to say if you worked 40 hours a week, you were part-time. I said, what are you doing, you slacker? Get up and go to work. Yeah, Donald Trump, yeah. Woo, he's done a lot in 1 week. Whether it's good or not, I don't know, but he's done a lot in 1 week. Wow. I used to think, you know, 60, 70 hours a week is what you got to do. And, you know, maybe at certain points in your life, you've got to do that kind of thing. But after a while, you realize life gets boring when it's just about work. That's all I'm doing is working. It just gets old. And so we got to have a balance between rest and work. Work hard, rest well. Work hard and rest well. Find a balance so when you go back out to work, you got some energy to get it done. And so as a church, we want to continue that. And so one of the things that we definitely have looked at and talked about is if we make some adjustments this year to not require too much of people, to keep things in balance so that we can continue to stay healthy and strong and grow together. Is that a good thing? Amen. Amen. So making church is my first point. Second point is making disciples. And this is really the heart of what God really laid on my heart for this year. Making disciples, the phrase, making disciples who make disciples. Let me say that again. Making disciples who make disciples. We just read in Matthew 28, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. There's a good follow-up verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, and these things that you have heard, sorry, I lost my place. There it is. These things you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and faithful women who will be able to teach others also. It's not enough for me to be discipled, but I've got to also disciple others. What does disciple mean? Disciple, the word means learner. It means apprentice. It means taking somebody under my wing to teach them what I know. Can't teach it what I don't know, but I can teach it what I know. And so for me to continue to disciple, I've got to continue to be discipled. I've got to continue to grow so that I know more than I did last year, so I can pass that on to somebody else. It's that flow. It's that generational transfer as we pass on from one to the next. Discipling happens two ways. It happens by instructing, and it happens by immersing. Instructional. All of us learn and benefit from being taught in an instructional setting. All of us can learn from that. We can receive from that. Even on Sunday morning, I do a lot more teaching probably than preaching. And instruction is a good thing. Sitting around together at a table and talking about the Word of God, being taught the Word of God, is something that all of us need. That's part of discipling. Immersing is something a little different. Immersing, it makes you think of being baptized, doesn't it? Immersion. Immersing is being surrounded by the culture that you're wanting to be influenced by. It's not enough just to have information, because people will go to a class and be told all the right things to do and then go right back out into the wrong culture and do exactly the opposite. Am I right? BJ, we did a lot of that with youth ministry, didn't we? Give them all the right information and go right back into the wrong culture, do the wrong thing all over again. Man, it's frustrating, isn't it? Think for a good teacher, it's frustrating. Like, didn't you listen? But we need instruction and we need immersion. It's how a child learns to talk. You don't have a class. Esther, I forget which one, we have so many. Esther does not, we don't take her to a class talking 101. There isn't such a thing. Sure would not take her there. She learns by immersion, by being around other people that talk. Same thing with walking. I don't know, play an instrument, but I've heard it's a similar thing with playing an instrument. You just get around people that do that, and you begin to learn. You begin to grow. So the key to discipling well is having access to the culture that you're hoping will change you. Access is important. And so the big change, this is our big announcement for this year. If we had a drum roll, we could do it. We are going to begin in March. We're going to be in Bible studies, children's program, and youth on Wednesday nights. In March, we're going to do them in what we call in blocks. So instead of doing it every Wednesday night, it's not going to be really a service. We're going to do a block schedule. Anybody have a block schedule at school? Ever heard of that? Anybody? It's going to kind of be what we do. We're going to do with our Wednesday night. We're going to have discipling blocks, building blocks, or just blocks, whatever you want to call it, starting in March. And here's how it's going to look. We're going to have a 4 to 6 week block. Depending on the calendar, it'll be 4 weeks, 5 weeks, or 6 weeks. And we'll have somebody lead a Bible study during that time to give us that instruction that we all need. Also, during that time, we're going to have a kids program going on, and we're going to spend a little bit of money and get some good VBS-type curriculum, some good stuff. It's a lot of fun and a lot of energy for our kids, and make sure there's just something exciting going on for our kids, and also a similar thing for our youth. And we're going to have different people lead it, because what I want to do is not do it all myself. I've been there. I've done that. Hallelujah. I got tired. It ended up canceling our Wednesday night service. We don't want to have to do that again. So we're going to have different people lead it, because we have people, we have leaders in this church that are capable of leading a good Bible study, of leading a good children's program, leading a good youth ministry. But by doing it in a block, it's going to allow us some breaks in between. It's going to allow us an opportunity to rest and not just go hard all the time. And by allowing different people to lead each block, it'll give somebody a break as well. So you can sign up and say, you know what, I'm going to lead this block, and that's all I'm going to do this year. And that's okay. That's totally good. But do it with all your heart when you do it. Do the best job you can. And then take a break. Come and attend. Come and join a Bible study. But don't feel like you have to always lead it. But we want to encourage those that are being discipled to disciple others. We've got to create that kind of a culture. And so there's an instructional side to discipleship. And our Wednesday night blocks are that instructional side that I feel is important that we do. And one of the things that I've struggled with as I've looked at this and thought about this, I don't want to just go back. You know, we change something. I'm all about change. I'm all about trying things. I'm all about just, you know, let's see if it works. I'm really good with that. Some of you already know that. But I don't want to go back to something just because it's all I know. So we've done a lot of praying, a lot of discussing, and this is not going back. I believe this is going forward. But it's adding something that we need and maybe we've missed over this period of this year, is that instructional side to discipleship that we need for all ages, the adults, the youth, and for the children. Amen? Anybody say, you know what, I could use that sometimes? Anybody? Amen. Anybody say, you know what, I've got something I'd like to give. I got something I'd like to teach and share. You know what? If I'm doing it all, you're untapped. We might as well let you have a chance to do it. And you know what? You won't do it perfect. You won't. I don't. Nobody does. But you'll learn as you do it. Amen? Amen. That's the instructional side, the immersing side. One of the things I don't want to throw away is last year we announced the beginning of small groups. And we said, you know what, we're going to do these different things on different subjects. And one's going to be an up, one's going to be an out, one's going to be an in. And we're going to ride bikes, or we're going to walk on trails, or we're going to do this, that. And for the most part, none of it really got off the ground. But you know what, I think it's still important. I think it's something we still need to do. So instead of trying to organize small groups, we're going to let you organize them. Instead of them being organized, we're going to let them be organic. Let them just happen. But it's important. It's important that we immerse, and that's what small groups will do. That you gather together because you want to, around people that you need to be influenced by and that you need to influence. And continue to do those things because we need instruction and we need immersion. Sarah was talking about some of the mothers getting together and going to the playground. And I know Cherish went the other day, and there's a bunch of mothers and a whole lot of kids. It's just kind of a spontaneous thing that fills a need, but there's an opportunity for immersion to happen in that atmosphere. Discipleship's going on. Doesn't all have to be organized. But we need to surround ourselves with a culture that we're hoping to change us by instruction and by immersion. You know, it's what Jesus did. That's exactly what Jesus did. He called 12 guys that none of us probably would have picked to be his disciples. He taught. He did a lot of teaching. But you know, most Bible scholars believe at least half of his 3 years of ministry were spent alone with those 12 apostles, 12 disciples. And even a good chunk of that time was spent with only three: Peter, James, and John. Wow. Half of his ministry was spent in immersion. Half of it was spent in instruction. So I'll teach the masses, I'll heal the crowds, but I want to pour myself into you. Because when I'm gone, somebody else has got to know how to disciple the next ones. Hallelujah. My. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad serving the Lord doesn't have to be stressful? Hallelujah. He's not trying to pour a bunch of work on you. He said, "I'm trying to release you to be who you meant to be. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Most of us don't know what yokes are except for eggs that we ate this morning. So let me just tell you a little story out of The Farmer Boy by Laura Ingalls. My kids have been reading this. I sat you cherish has been reading it to them. Last breakfast was over and Almanzo got to the woodshed. There was a little calf yoke. Father had made it out of red cedar, so it was strong and yet light. It was Almanzo's very own. And Father said, "Yes, son, you are old enough now to break the calves." I think he was 9 in this story. Almanzo did not go to school that day. He did not have to go to school when there were more important things to do. He carried the little yoke into the barn, and Father went with him. Almanzo thought if he handled the calves perfectly, perhaps Father might help him with the colts and let him help with the colts next year. Star and Bright were in their warm stall in the south barn. Their little red sides were sleek and silky from all the curryings Almanzo had given them. They crowded against him when he went into the stall and licked at him with their wet, rough tongues. They thought that he had brought them carrots. Did not know he was going to teach them how to behave like big oxen. Father showed him how to fix the yoke carefully to their soft necks. He must scrape it in its inside curves with a bit of broken glass. Ooh, sometimes there's purpose in those things in our lives. Till the yoke fitted perfectly and the wood was silky smooth. Then Almanzo let down the bars of the stall and the wondering calves followed him into the dazzling, cold, snowy barnyard. Father held up one end of the yoke while Almanzo laid the other end on Bright's neck. Then Almanzo lifted up the bow under Bright's throat and pushed its end through the holes made for them in the yoke. He slipped a wooden bow pin through one end of the bow above the yoke, and it held the bow in place. Bright kept twisting his head. Sometimes we resist, don't we? Trying to see the strange thing on his neck. But Almanzo had made him so gentle that he stood quietly. And Almanzo gave him a piece of carrot. Star heard him crunching it and came to get his share. Father pushed him around beside Bright under the other end of the yoke. And Almanzo pushed the other bow up into his under his throat and fastened it with a bow pin. There already he had his little yoke of oxen. Father tied a rope around Star's nubs of horns, and Almanzo took the rope. He stood in front of the calves and shouted, "Get up!" Star's neck stretched out longer and longer. Almanzo pulled till finally Star stepped forward. Bright snorted and pulled back. The yoke twisted Star's head around and stopped him, and the two calves stood wondering what it was all about. Father helped Almanzo push them till they stood properly side by side again. Then he said, "Well, son, I'll leave you to figure it out." And he went into the barn. Then Almanzo knew that he was really old enough to do important things all by himself. Jesus said in the scripture, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, will find rest for your souls." That yoke requires two oxen to walk together, to pull together, step by step. When Jesus invites us to the yoke, he says, "I'm going to yoke you up to me. And you will learn by being discipled by me how to walk, how to live, how to work. And what Jesus is really talking about there, and I don't know much about this, but I've just read a book, so I'll tell you what the book said, is what they would do when they would train a young ox. They would yoke a young ox to an old ox that knew how to pace themselves, knew how to work for 10 or 12 hours a day in the field without getting worn out, knew how to move at that regular, steady pace. And that young ox would want to push ahead and would want to do this and do that, and that older ox would just be calm and just plod along. And eventually that young ox would learn to walk step by step at the same pace with that older ox. And in time, the young ox became the old ox. And a young ox would be yoked up to him. And he would teach the same thing to the next one as they went. Jesus is saying, let me disciple you so you will learn to disciple others. Take my yoke upon you. You don't have to do it all yourself. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to be an expert. Yoke yourself to me. Let me show you how to live in order that you can show someone else the same thing. That's what Jesus did with his disciples. That's what I talked about a couple of weeks ago when he knew wine and knew wineskins. He said, I'm going to teach you a new way to live. You got to listen to me so that you learn how to live, how to walk, how to talk. And that's what Jesus' retreat ministry was all about. Half of his ministry, he went alone with the 12 disciples to say, let me teach you how to walk with me. Let me teach you, because there's going to be a long journey ahead. And you got to know how to pace yourself so you can make it. So when Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples, they knew what he was talking about. Because for 3 years, that's what he'd done. Disciples was not just a name. It was not just a title. But it was the process that he had taken them through. He said, at the end of Matthew 28, before he ascended, he said, what he's saying is, what you have seen me do, as you yoked yourself to me for these last 3 years, and I taught you how to walk, he says, now do the same thing to those that are coming up after you. Disciple those who will disciple others, is what Jesus said. That is our theme. That is our vision. That is our concise statement, as I know how to make it for this year, is that God will make us disciples that will disciple others through instruction, through immersion. We will all grow. And there are those that are part of this church that need to be connected, need to be part of the culture in a way they haven't. Let's reach out. Let's connect. Let's bring others in. And so on a Wednesday night, when we start in March with this first block, let's be excited about it. Let's support it. Let's get behind it. Sign up to help, knowing that it's not forever. It's only for 4 or 5 weeks. We take a break, and we'll do another one. But realize the instructional part is only half of what discipleship is about. You got to immerse yourself in the culture as well. I encourage you, this coming Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. And for the first time in I don't know how many years, we are not having an official Super Bowl party at all. I like the Super Bowl parties, but it just didn't come together this year. So you know what? Why don't you host a Super Bowl party at your house and invite your neighbors? Invite a couple people from church and just get together and hang out. That's part of discipleship. That's immersion. As I surround myself with people that I need to be influenced by and need to influence. Discipling. Hallelujah. That sound good? Amen. You glad God is discipling you? Are you ready to disciple somebody else? You don't have to know it all. You got to stay a disciple while you disciple. My last point, making room. Not rum, room. Exodus 31, verses 1 through 6. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uriah, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship to design artistic works, to work in gold and silver, in bronze and cutting jewels for setting and carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship. And indeed, I have appointed with him Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, what a great name, of the tribe of Dan. And I put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans that they may make all that I have commanded you. I love this scripture. I've talked about it before. Some of you heard me mention Bezalel. He was the one that God called to build the tabernacle in the wilderness. And he went into glowing description of this guy who was a craftsman. He knew how to build stuff and do it well. I won't take time to do it now, but all through Scripture, God delights over things that are built with your hands. Why do you think for 30 years Jesus worked as the son of a carpenter? He likes to build things. He likes to make things. And God celebrates those that are good with their hands. So if we're going to make, if we're going to let God make the church and we're going to make disciples, one thing we've got to do is make room. So here's the things we want to do. And very simple. We want to finish the dividers and the organization of the kids' classrooms in the fellowship hall by the end of February. We want to take the construction zone room and turn it into an office and a conference room and make a great, really great environment for a Bible study. So it feels a bit like a home. That's what we want to do. We want to remodel the kitchen. We've got some wonderful cabinets that have been donated. We want to remodel the kitchen, get that finished, get that looking good and functional. Here's the big project. We want to finish our youth room. We've got a great youth room over here. It used to be a garage. The problem is there's no bathroom in there. There's no sink. Water comes in when it rains real hard. And no heat and air. We're going to finish that. We're going to make it totally functional. So when the youth go over there, they can go potty over there too. They can wash their dishes over there. They can be warm or hot, whatever they need. And we're going to make sure it don't leak. No water comes in that place. It's a great facility. Let's make it functional in every way. Those are really all the things we need to do this year. The biggest thing, and we'll talk more about this next week, because next week I'm going to give you some pledge cards and ask if you want to pledge a certain amount. That'll be between you and God. I won't do that today. The two things I want to really focus on, additional, all the things I've just mentioned here, we don't need any extra money for. If you just tithe, we're good. We can take care of all of that. The two big things I want to ask you to really pray about. Number one is missions. I'll talk more about missions next week. And in 2 weeks, David Gillum will be here to share about what God's put on his heart as well. We've got to give above and beyond to missions, both locally and foreign. We want to reach our community here as well as around the world. That's above our tithe, I feel. That's something I give because I want to. The other thing as a church I'd like to see us really focus in on as far as making room is paying off our debt. We laid out beginning of last year that in 5 years we'd be debt free. So we're 1 year into that now. 4 more years to go. It's not that hard. It's quite doable. I'll present some more numbers to you next week of how that can happen. But all of it takes is of all of us doing what we can do. And seeing us get out of debt. Because what I would like to see is this paid for. And then we can see what God has for us next. Because I'm believing we're going to grow. I believe this year, I know that the numbers are down the last couple of months or so, but I just feel so much energy that we are poised for growth. And I think as we begin to do what we've talked about today, as we begin to disciple those who will disciple others, this church is going to grow. My heart is for us to see us grow by the end of this 5-year period, 4 years from now, to 250 people. I believe we can easily get there. We're going to need a bigger building. We're going to need a bigger facility. We may build here. My pipe dream is that we buy some property visible from the interstate and build a facility that can be seen as all these vehicles go up and down the interstate close to here. I don't have any plans for that. Such a busy road. Wouldn't it be great if we were more visible? But whatever God has, Whatever God wants, I want us to be free to do it. So pray that God will speak to you about that as well. But the vision for this year is what we just read, Matthew 28, verse 19. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Spirit. Sorry, I can't read. Name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And the second scripture to go with that is 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men and women who will be able to teach each other also. Can we stand up this morning? I called my wife. I do that from time to time. I called her about, 3 weeks ago, just as started the 21-day fast, and I find that, I don't know if it's psychological or what, but it seems like just a few days after I begin a fast, I hear God talk so clearly to me. I always wonder then, why do I go 21 days? Because he spoke to me like the fourth day. By the way, I really enjoyed eating bread and eating sweets today. It was great. But about the fourth day in, whenever it was, I just praying through all these things. I'm just really asking the Lord to help me package it because I knew what he was saying. And the phrase, make disciples, make disciples, make disciples, just kept echoing around in my head. And I called my wife, and she's had her hands full with four kids trying to cook them lunch or something. I said, hey, what do you think about making disciples? She says, whatever. Sounds good to me. I got to go. I got home that day, and if you remember, David Gillum was here. BJ, come on up if you want, and whoever else wants to come is good. Jeremy, anybody, Andy's. Anybody wants to? Amen. Anyway, David Gillum was here, and he presented me with a picture. I don't know if you remember that. It had been laying around the house, and she found it and stuck it on my desk. And because of the phone call that I'd had that day, I thought, well, just put that on my desk because it's what I was talking about. So I called, and I called up the stairs and said, Cherish, that's pretty cool you found that picture today. She said, what picture? I said, the one you put on my desk. Oh, I'm just trying to get out of the house before it got broken. What was on it? Probably can't read it from back there. It's kind of faint. Go and make disciples of all nations. I got a better frame than what David put on it. His was falling apart. I'm going to hang that up in the new office in here. You can't determine a whole direction by one little picture. But it's little things like that that God sends to confirm to us what he's saying. And I thought it was especially cool that she didn't even know what was on it when she put it on my desk. She just wanted it out of the house so it didn't get broken. Hallelujah. God is calling us this year. This is phase two. Last year we pulled back so we could spend some time building together, growing together, developing our leaders to be able to function as a team in a way that we couldn't a year ago. But I really believe now phase two is ready. We are ready to step in and turn loose a team that will disciple. Disciple people that will learn to disciple people, who will learn to disciple people, who will learn to disciple people. It's the one thing, if you talk to pastors anywhere, that's missing in our society more than anything else is discipleship. Because we don't spend time with one another. We can text, we can message, we can Facebook, we can whatever. We don't spend time with people. It takes time for discipleship to happen. It takes all of us to be involved in that process. So we can be discipled by the one we're yoked to and learn to disciple someone else. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to fulfill the Great Commission in this part of the world. You said, go. Make disciples of all nations. Simple, direct, easy to remember. Help us to do that, Lord. Maybe some of us have already been doing it. We didn't realize that's what it was. Lord, if we are, help us to be encouraged that we're already discipling and help us to do it better. Help us to remember in discipling others that we don't get out on our own. We've got to remember we're still being discipled by you. We still need to be yoked to you and to others that can teach us what we don't know. We've always got to receive. We don't know it all. We're never there. But what we do know, we want to pass on. As we allow others to help us, and we help them to be more like Jesus. Help us this year, Lord, as we endeavor to expand our ability to instruct. I pray you'll raise up people, oh God, that will lead Bible studies. That is more than just doing it because someone asked them, but because they're called to do it, they're anointed to do it. Oh, Lord, that those will teach our children, will teach our youth, oh God. Raise them up, Lord, I pray, to mentor, to disciple every age. Young, middle, and old. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way. Be glorified. Be magnified in us. I pray, Lord, this morning, right now, for those that may listen to what I've said and said, that all sounds good, but right now I'm hurting. Right now I'm struggling. Right now I'm worried. I'm fearful. I'm hurt. Broken. Pray right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, they will find you coming alongside them. I pray even Holy Spirit right now, they will sense you coming along beside them and saying to them, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, and I will teach you the rhythms of life. That will carry you through right where you are right now and find that you can develop endurance. Find that you can develop strength that comes from me to sustain you not just now but for a lifetime. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody right now. The word of the Lord is coming to somebody right now and say, God is right there. Quit doing it on your own. Quit trying to make it happen. Quit trying to struggle through and fight through on your own. You may be in this room or you may be listening even now by podcast. And I just want to say right now, the Holy Spirit is there. He is right there with you, beside you. Come to Him. Let Him yoke Himself to you. That you can find rest. You can find strength. You can find healing. You can find life. You can find endurance right now. We speak that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Shamada batambada dekira. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. While they lead us in a worship song, Ed's going to pass you out what I just preached to you. The Bible says to write the vision and make it plain so they may run who read it. Take this with you, stick it on your refrigerator, pray about it, talk to me about it. As he leads us in his worship song, if you have a need this morning, whatever it may be, and you'd like prayer, please come. Those that haven't turned around to look, let me just tell you, the snow is not blowing at all. We'll let you go in a minute, but nothing to worry about. It's good out there. Can we just worship? Just take a minute and worship. And if you have a need, you need prayer, please come. Whatever is on your heart, you come.